Sporty greetings. Welcome to this special Voice of America Basketball Africa League podcast. Nothing but net. I'm Sonny Young with
Mokbel Yavoro
and Jackson Bunganyi.
And our special guest joining us from Cairo, Egypt, the team manager for Uganda's City Oilers Basketball Club, Grace Quizera. Grace, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Grace, the City Oilers making their debut in the Basketball Africa League. What's been the biggest surprise for you, Grace, in terms of maybe the atmosphere or even the skill level that you've been facing in Cairo? What in your opinion, has been the biggest surprise?
Well, I think the first surprise was how well we did in our first game. I thought we did a pretty good job putting things together. The team we played first was a team from Angola, and they are who is projected to win this tournament. I was happy with what we did as a team to stop them for as long as we did. But otherwise, the skill levels are about where we thought they would be, and we're just happy to be here.
Now, Grace, I think for me the biggest story of what would have been the biggest story would have been that big comeback that you had against Al Ahly when your team was not down 34 points in the second quarter, in the second half, in the third half, and you're able to come back to almost win this. What were you able to do, or what were your players able to do in that fourth quarter with Al Ahly that can give us an understanding of how your coaching or the team is actually playing, is approaching these games?
So the first half we gave Al Ahly a lot of respect, and they are a professional team. They'll make their shots, and that we dug ourselves a hole. And then in the second half, we had a talk in the locker room, and the boys came out aggressive. Didn't try to do things too much, too many things by single people, but went at it as a team, and we chipped away. Managed to score 34 points in the fourth quarter. I think the aggression that we brought into the second half exhausted the Egyptians, and because of that, they had no legs, so scoring was difficult for them. They managed to score 11 to our 34 in the fourth quarter, and that's down to the exhaustion from the defense they had to play.
Yes, Grace, this is Mokbel. For your players, let's say Justice Jr. and Fulani Jones, both American players playing for the City Oilers, they have had really good production for your team. How have the imports helped your team as a collective in this league?
Unfortunately, for Justice tore a tendon in his left finger, and he's left-handed, and it happened in the first play. It happened in the first play of our first game, so he's been carrying that injury. But in spite of that, he's averaging 23, I think.
Wow.
Falando has been with us for longer. Falando is Falando. He averages 20, so no surprise there. And we're hoping that, the rest of the boys can chip in there to make sure we're scoring at least 80. We think if you score 80, you win the game.
Grace, following up on Mukbil's question, I know each team in the BAL is allowed four foreign players from outside where the team is based. Has it been difficult to integrate say these players like Justice and Philando Jones into the squad, or has it been relatively easy?
So Philando and Robak have played with us since last year. So they have been they've been with the team for longer. Justice only joined us about 2 days before the tournament started. So he's only getting a feel for the everybody on the team, and we're hoping that will show in tomorrow's game, where he's He's a clever player. He should understand what everyone brings to the table, and hopefully that will give us enough to win our next two games.
Now, Grace, you, the City Oilers have been the local champions, the champions of the local league in Uganda for the last 8 years. First of all, that's such an amazing feat for any team to be that dominant for any local league. Now, some people are saying that if you are just left in the players that have been winning these games for you in Kampala, that probably you would have done better in Cairo. What do you say to that?
So it's not that they're not being let in. It's just that, number one, like I said, we played our first game was against the who was projected to be the eventual champion in Angola. Number two, the second game was Al Ahly, who is at home and projected to finish second or third in this tournament. Our best player, who was supposed to average 40, tore something in his shooting hand opening night. So we've been on the back foot for the whole time. And when you're doing that, what happens is that you don't go according to the game plan. So, yes, we haven't gone very deep into the bench, but for a tournament like this one, most coaches won't. But you should see a difference in the two games now that we understand each other better.
Yeah, no, that's fair. As we've mentioned, you know, you guys kind of started off with a very difficult schedule playing the top two teams in the conference. But with still two games left, anything is open. Do you guys have a different strategy going into the next two games? As you've mentioned, your leading scorer is battling a tendon injury.
Yes, we as you can imagine, it's a game of adjustments. We've made the adjustments like the other teams have made whilst playing against us. The boys are upset, of course, that they lost the game that they did the other day as badly as they did to a team from Guinea who shouldn't have had as good a run as they did. But at this level, it's anyone's day. And we think that we've made the adjustments necessary for us to win the two games we need to win to make it to the final eight.
Now, if you're not able to make it to the playoffs, just in case you're not able to make up for the playoffs, what are some of the lessons so far for you as a team that you'll be taking back, you know, preparing for the next season?
Time. We have to spend more time together as a unit before we get here, and that's something that we have to synchronize with the NBA expects us in the tournament country 5 days to the tournament. We have to work out a way to do that with the team even earlier and get us working out together before the tournament starts.
Mm. I'm Sonny Young. This is Nothing But Net, a special Voice of America Basketball Africa League podcast. I'm joined by Mukbil Yabaro and Jackson Vunganyi. We're talking with Grace Kwizera, the team manager for Uganda's City Oilers Basketball Club. Grace is joining us from Cairo, Egypt. Grace, this is the second year in a row the BAL has kind of had this caravan format, where the games start out in Senegal, currently in Egypt, and then they'll wrap up with the BAL playoffs and final in Rwanda. Do you see the league maybe expanding to new African countries in the next few years?
For sure, because that's the product right there. Remember that Africa is going to have 1.5 billion people in by 2025, and half of them will be 20 years or so. The market is only going to grow, so I expect that the league will probably expand to maybe, because we are end of the BAL now is for 12 teams. I see us growing to maybe 16 in the next 5 years.
Yeah. Mukbil, you had a question?
Yeah, Grace, just to piggyback off that question, we see the Basketball Africa League having that Elevate program in collaboration with the NBA Africa Academy. You all have a player by the name of Obey Sigun Ezekiel. What are your thoughts on his play and just the play of the younger Elevate players in this tournament in general?
Oh, he's great. It's like we goes by Easy when he's with us. Mm-hmm. He's a good kid. He's from Nigeria originally. He's big. He's a guard. He's a guard, but he's almost the size of. He's bigger than some of the power forwards that we come with from Uganda. So I like the program. I like what it means for us to have. Kid with that skill set, and you can see his skill set and what he's being trained from the way he works out with us. His only knock is probably the immaturity, but you can expect that from somebody who is 18.
Right.
And we look forward to using him. And we have a plan for him in this one, and whichever Elevate player we get in the next BAF.
We are still with Grace Muguri Kwizera, the manager for the City Oilers of Uganda. Now, Grace, again, you started off with two of the strongest teams in the BAL, the City Oilers refusing to embrace the underdog status. I want to take you back again to one of my original questions about your players, the players that keep winning these tournaments for you in Kampala, Uganda. If you're to gauge their skill level comparative to what you see right now in the BAL, where do they fall?
I would say from the four players that we pick up from outside of Uganda, they average 20 points. The players coming in from Kampala, we have about four of them who average 10. So. Double the efficiency right there. As far as the point guards go, which is our strength in Uganda, they're pretty matched in as far as getting the team going and facilitating. But as far as scorers go, you have a lot more coming from the players that are not from Uganda, which is why you add them to the teams.
Yeah, Grace, just to follow up on that question, could the argument be made that if the system for the BAL didn't have the imports and your specific players were getting more touches, maybe they perform better, but if you're option two, option three, your production is going to be not as good when you don't have the ball as much though, right?
No, I don't think so, because iron sharpens iron, and having high quality players elevates the quality of the game. What needs to happen though is we need to play with them for longer before we come into the tournament, and then you have the perfect product. And if the BAL asks me for feedback, that's what I'd give them, rather than have 5 days to the start of the tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, give us the 10 days, because all sorts of things come into play, like insurance and how you travel to the country that the tournament is going to be run. It's not up to us. If it was, then we would go to the places much earlier, have these camps with these players, and then we are ready tournament time. So the things that you see in the game that are not going the way we want them to go are growth pains from a group that's just getting together.
Grace, before the Nile Conference games tipped off, we did a series of team profiles, and when it came to the Oilers, it really sounded like you have a passionate fan base. Kind of a two-part question. Have any of your local fans from Kampala traveled to Cairo, and what's been the general atmosphere at the arena in Egypt?
So yes, we have six fans that traveled with us. We don't exactly have the means to get a plane load here. The crowd in the stadium is they're Egyptian, so they're quite loud. It's not as loud as it could have been, but apparently there was crowd trouble in one of these other tournaments held in Egypt. So because of that, many of the fans are staying away. But otherwise, it's an amazing stadium. And even the few that are making it in there, really bringing the noise.
Yeah, that is Grace Muguri Kwizera. Grace, before we let you go, final question. I know your mind is on the BAL in Cairo. Your team is playing, but I know you're also watching the NBA finals. Sorry, the playoffs here in the US. I know you very well to know that you're watching at night. Where is your mind? Who do you think has got it this year?
You have to worry about those Denver Nuggets. I think they are. I think they're a dark horse that no one's thinking about.
Yeah.
I mean, Golden State is a conversation you can never shut down. So I think the conversation is between those.
Yeah. Grace, thank you so much for taking time to chat with us right here on Nothing But Net. Good luck for your next matches, and we know, lucky we are rooting for you guys.
thank you very much. Thank you for having us, and let's see, we'll give it our best. Hopefully we'll be talking again when we get to Kigali.
Yes, sir.
Grace Kwizera, thank you for talking with us. I'm Sonny Young, joined by Mukbil Yabaro and Action Jackson Vunganyi, Nothing But Net. Mukbil, as we head into Friday's games in Cairo, what do the standings look like, and what does the playoff picture look like?
So at the moment, we have Petro de Luanda at the top, followed by Al Ahli Club. So both teams are undefeated at the moment. Petro has 4 wins and no losses with 1 more game left, so they are automatically through. We have Al Ahli with 3 wins and no losses. They still have 2 games left, but because it's a 4-team structure, they should also be through. We have Club Faverio de Biera with 2 wins and 2 losses at 500. Then we have Cape Town Tigers with 1 win and 3 losses. Seydou Legacy Athletic Club is also tied with 1 win, 3 losses. And the City Oilers that we just spoke to, the manager, Grace, as well. They unfortunately have not got a win yet. But the beautiful thing about this type of a setup is they have 2 games left. If they're able to win 2 games, man,
they could make it to Kigali.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can make it to Kigali. You know, as Jackson was saying yesterday, you know, having another East African team in the mix, man.
That'd be nice.
It'll be nice. It'll be a nice little, you know, when you look at all the teams from all the conferences, you got representation from a lot of the places. It would be nice.
You know, getting back to Grace Muguli Kwizera, Jackson, I think that name fits him, Grace.
Yes, absolutely.
He showed a lot of grace.
He's a man of grace. He showed a lot of grace.
Well, what do you think about the Tigers, Jackson? I mean, for me, they're kind of a disappointment,
man,
right now.
I think the biggest disappointment was for Dwayne Wade making the trip all the way after the Met Gala in New York, shining in the stage, taking that flight, probably 10 hours flight to see Zaire Wade play yesterday, and then they lose.
He played well. His son played well.
Absolutely. Again, it doesn't matter if he plays well, if the team doesn't win.
That's right. Good point. You got to win.
Hey, but, you know, we've seen, though, throughout this conference, he's just gotten his footing down. He scored, I believe, 9 points in the first 2 games.
17
yesterday. So I think he's starting to come into his own. He still has that, I believe they still have that 1 game left against the City Oilers.
Against the City Oilers, yeah.
Very pivotal game for them. Very important.
Yeah, it's a do or die for them.
Literally, yeah. That's the situation. But it's kind of a do or die for, almost feels kind of like a play-in game, right?
Yeah.
For the City Oilers, because they haven't got any wins yet. They need to win both in order to have a chance to get through. Whereas Cape Town, for them, it's in the bag. If they can get this win, they're in there.
Now, Mukbil, we both had a chance to talk with the Tigers captain, Peter Prinsloo, before the tournament. He told me that if they didn't make it to the final, it would be considered a disappointing season for them.
Yeah, I think with the level of skill that they have, they came into it with, you know, all this excitement, not only surrounding Zaire, but surrounding their team because of that, right? For them not to be able to make it to the next round is going to be disappointing, I think.
Absolutely.
For the entire, you know, playoffs, I think, you know.
You have the support of a Hall of Famer.
Man, you had D-Wade courtside and Gabrielle Union.
I wouldn't be surprised if Zaire were to make a switch next year, you know.
Swaps teams?
Joins another team. Hey, we've seen that happen in the BAL.
They do travel well, don't they? Right?
They have some veterans that, you know, just go to the best team of their liking.
I wouldn't be surprised.
This was really my first look at Zaire. Mukbil had told me about his G League time, but completely different player than his father. Mm-hmm. I mean, his father was more muscular, much more explosive.
Right.
And I see Zaire as more of a fluid, kind of a playmaker almost.
To me, if I were to compare his game to, like, if we look at trajectory, right, what his game could look like at its peak, it would go the route of, like, a D'Angelo Russell and see what he's doing with the Lakers. You know, he can change his pace. He's a lefty. He's very crafty, very shifty, not super fast, not super athletic, but can get into the spots when he needs to. So that, to me, is like, you know, Zaire at his best would be like a D'Lo, which is excellent.
Russell have bad days which and good excellent. Days.
Absolutely. Absolutely, as we all can. I think all players across the board can. But, you know, if he is to kind of refine his skills, if he can get to that level, I think, a player like D'Lo, and we've seen what he's been able to do to help the Los Angeles Lakers.
Absolutely.
You know?
Still with the Lakers and the NBA playoffs, apart from the playoffs, the big NBA story this week, Action Jackson was Joel Embiid winning his first MVP award.
The second African.
Top individual honor given in the NBA. What was your reaction?
I mean, this kid has been dreaming about this for years. He spoke it into existence and walked towards it, and he finally has it.
What was his thing? Trust the process?
Yeah, trust the process.
You know, the process is loaded.
Trust the process.
Yes. And it has worked well for him. I mean, second MVP from Africa, after the Dream, Olajuwon won in 1994. That's quite a feat.
And Embiid, I think he showed a lot of persistence. Mm-hmm. First 2 years, basically wiped out because of injuries. And since then, I mean, he's just been phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think he's certainly deserving.
Yeah, I definitely credit the Sixers organization as well, right, for sticking with him. It's easy for you to go away from a player, especially having to sit down for your first 2 years. They had two young bright stars in Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and they kind of drifted apart and had to pick one, and they stuck with, you know, the process, and He showed them that he is the real deal, man.
But they don't get my credits for having him play when he's injured and then get blown.
Yeah, yeah.
After having won the first game without him, let the man heal.
Right. I think, you know, everyone could have seen it, but, you know, sometimes also the difficult thing is maybe management and coaching didn't want him to play, but because he's such a competitor, he may have told coach. He said, listen, I just won the MVP award. If I can help continue this lead against this team, when you have a Boston Celtics team against the ropes, you can't let that opportunity go.
Right. So on the other hand, you run the risk of
re-injuring or not having him for the rest of the series.
Absolutely.
And the potential playoffs. Yeah, I think it's a toss-up. If they end up winning, it looks like a great choice. If they end up losing as they did, it looks like he could have sat out till Philly. So, you know, 2020 is hindsight, right?
Right.
Joel Embiid, two-time NBA scoring champion. Why don't we pivot back to the BAL? Who are the leading scorers in the BAL, Mukbil?
Yeah, at the moment, we have Dane Miller Jr. From SLAC leading with 23.5 points per game. The young man is doing a lot of things.
Fire.
Not only is he getting points, but he's a very unselfish scorer. Yeah. So sometimes when you see folks at the top of this list, it just looks like they're just going out there to get theirs. And that could not be further from the truth. He is also top three in assist as well. You know, with like, I believe like, what was it? Like maybe he had about six assists per game, You know, it's an unbelievable feat to be able to lead or even be top five in two categories like scoring and assisting. Certain games we've seen him just come out and just make the unselfish basketball play, get everybody else involved. And he's also a type of scorer that really doesn't need himself to get going. So he gets everyone else's touches involved. And then what does he do? When it's go time, I think he scored like 8 or 10 wow. in the third quarter or fourth quarter. So he's a baller. Then we have Nooney.
Love Nooney. You know,
come on, man.
Love the name. You know. Simple, but he does not have a simple game.
Nooney Omat, 22 points per game. You know,
I like his game a lot.
His game is fluid, man. The young man, you know, played for Baylor, I should say. They asked him in the post-game interview, what do you feel like, you know, you guys can do better? And he was just constantly saying, you know, we could do more. You know, we could do more. You know, there's certain instances where they almost blew that lead, right to the City Oilers. But somehow they were...
poor coaching.
Yeah, you know, what the coaching did, though, was in the following game, coaches fixed up and made sure, you know, they were calling the right calls and the timeouts in the moments that they needed against Cape Town.
Right.
And that's how they got that big victory against
them.
They
almost lost because he decided to
let the bench go out and ball out. I mean, you know, when you have a 30-point lead, though, sometimes it's easy to say, hey,
to relax. Listen,
guys, go ahead and get some touches in, and then you don't want to look like you're scary by pulling them back out. So I'm glad it worked out
but
for them.
Call some timeouts. A 32-0 run, call some timeouts.
It's tough. But, you know, basketball is a game of runs. We've seen the Lakers almost blow a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. So, you know, it happens in the NBA. It happens in the BA.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, getting back to the BAL, the big game, the marquee matchup, Al Ahly on its home court against Petro, both teams going to Kigali. What's at stake, Jackson?
Listen, everything. This is it. This for me, it feels like the final would look like this of the BAL. These are the two strongest teams. The advantage Al Ahly has is they're playing home court. They have the six-man advantage. If they had more people in the stands, hopefully they'll have more people in the stands. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Omot, I'm going to look at Omot. I'm going to look at Majok, you know. I'm going to look at some of these players that have been instrumental when they're playing with the lesser teams, the weaker teams. You know, I'll hate to use that word, but tomorrow is when they bring it. And we'll bring it right here at the Voice of America, by the way. So,
oh, yeah. I honestly could not be more excited for two, you know, giants of basketball, right? When we look at Angola and Egypt's history in the game of basketball on the continent, it's so extensive for the two teams to, you know, showcase their skill level and talent. This is a headbanger, man. So Petro has yet to be tested. They have shown that, you know, their margin of victories over 25, about 25 points. That is not easy to do at all. So
I think they want Petro. I'm talking about. I think they want that top seed.
On
the playoffs.
Oh absolutely. Yeah, they definitely
and
do.
This would be a statement win for them if they're able to beat Al Ahly on home court.
Right.
That means they can beat any other team.
But I think Petro's demeanor the entire season has not been just to win. It's been really to
dominate.
It's been really to demoralize teams, man. They're coming for pain, man.
Yes.
You know. So if they're able to finish off the conference as the number one seed, undefeated. Coach Liz Mills.
She's got her work
and
cut out for her.
And the ABC Fighters, man, they are going to be playing the bad boys from Angola.
Yeah, what a...
That's trouble.
That is not a matchup I'd want in the first round of the playoffs.
If I'm going to have a take a guess, I'd say ABC Fighters are rooting for Al Ahly to get this dub.
Listen, we knew Petro de Luanda is a strong team. The franchise is, you know, has a lot of history. It's a big institution. But I think this is their year. They've been really playing really, really well. They've been dominating, like you say. They're not just to win games, but to win with wide margins. It just feels like a whole different attitude for them. You know, just looking at their composure on the court, how they're moving the ball, how they're playing defense. You're not running the court on them. You know, they're able to adapt whenever they see some holes in. Mm-hmm. So I think Petro has it tomorrow.
Well, before we wrap up this episode of Nothing But Nets, some shout-outs. Muckbill Yabaro, Action Jackson Vuganyi, videographer Hakeem Shamo.
Yes, sir.
Producer Nikki Nicole Peters. And last, but certainly not least, working the boards, Nashwan Kelly. We have an all-star crew.
All-star crew, baby.
Yes, sir.
It has been amazing. And as we mentioned, Jackson, Sonny, and I could definitely talk basketball for another, you know, hour or so. But we're going to have to get going, and we will be back next time on Nothing But Nets.